We're in Genesis 24, and I told you this would be at least a three-part chapter, and maybe four. We did the first one last week as we looked at the servant who was obedient to Abraham as Abraham sent him out. So that's where we pick up. That's where we pick up in Genesis 24. So tonight, my hope is, and I think it won't be an issue, is we'll go 10 through 27 as we're going to look how the servant then goes and he meets Rebecca. And then we'll stop it right before he meets the family here. It's one of those lessons or sermons or, you know, however you want to title it, that it's not one that we're going to probably walk out here just wowed by, but there's still some truths in here. Anytime, again, we look at God's Word, there's always truths that we can look at. So there's a couple of things I do want us to look at eventually. It says, then the servant left in verse 10, taking with him 10 of his master's camels loaded with all kinds of good things from his master. Now, when we start there, remember we go back to the servant last week and we look at how obedient he was to Abraham and how this journey was. One of the commentators says the fact that Abraham had camels at all shows a sign of his wealth, that camels were scarce in this area in this time. And then you couple that with the fact that he had 10 camels on top of that, and it makes it even more impressive. There's several instances in the Bible of 10s where there was 10 donkeys or 10 of this and 10 of that in the Old Testament. We won't look at all those. But it lets us know that Abraham, again, has been blessed by God. It's not just that when God said, I'll make you the father of many nations, you'll be blessed that way. But God also blessed him financially. It is, as we've said before, finances are not a sin by any stretch of the imagination. Having money is not a sin. It is the love of money that causes people to sin. Very few people can handle money, but some can. So Abraham obviously was one of those people that could handle things. So he sends his servant with his 10 master's camels. By the way, he's going to leave them, more than likely. He's going to leave them as part of the dowry, so to speak, the down payment on the wife, as we'll see with the jewels here in a minute. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. There's two towns that this could be, but most commentators say it is a town located on the Euphrates River, or at least right by the edge of the Euphrates River. Again, most commentators that agree on this would say that agree that's the town, that this is about a month's journey for this servant. So think about it. We thought about that last week, that, you know, when he said, hey, what if she's not willing to come back? And Abraham talks about him and says, look, if I die before you get back, then promise me that Isaac won't leave there. So the fact that it's a month journey one way, then probably obviously a month back, lets us know that this is, and not counting how long he stays there, lets us know that Abraham's not going to see him for a while. This guy goes on this journey. It's not like 2019 where you get in the car and you travel across country. It would be like you traveling across country, you know, 200 years ago here, walking from here to California. That'd probably take more than a month. But imagine that, how dangerous that can be. Remember the bandits, the thieves on the road. So this guy is obedient to Abraham. He does what he said. When he gets there, he had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. He was famished, and the camels were famished, but he doesn't do anything, and we'll see why in a minute. It was toward the evening, the time when women go out to draw water. There was the way they handled this then is the younger women would go and draw water for the houses that they lived in. Now, many times they wouldn't speak. Now, when you get to the New Testament, we look at that, you know, how Jesus talks to the woman at the well. And, of course, that's several thousand years later. Things were a little bit different this time. But most of the time, the women still wouldn't speak to men in these situations. Then he prayed. Now, we don't know for sure what happened on the journey. The Bible doesn't say that he prayed on the journey. One would imagine that he probably did pray during that month travel. I know I would have been praying. But we know for sure he prayed here. It says, then he prayed, Lord, God of my master Abraham, make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. Notice he doesn't say show kindness to my master Isaac. He says, show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I'm standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Now, a couple things about this. That first of all, he did similar to what Gideon does, where he said, God, I'm going to need a sign. But now Gideon's was a little bit different. God was, you know, telling Gideon exactly what to do. And Gideon said, well, if you want me to do it, I'm going to need you to do this. And when the fleece puts the fleece out, and you know, he's like, let there be dew on the fleece, and then let there be dew everywhere but the fleece. So Gideon kind of doubles down the second time and asks for something even more impossible. He asks for something very difficult the first time, God does it, and he asks for something even more difficult. Same thing with this guy here. He says, hey, God, let the first woman that come up and talk to me be that person, but then let her say, hey, here's some water, and I'll also water your camels too. And we'll talk about that in a second, exactly how difficult that would be. But what we must understand here as we look at this, that we don't want to get into the habit of, as Dad always says, laying the fleece out on everything. In other words, let's put this in everyday jargon. If you believe God's calling you to a different job, different city in a different job, or God's calling you to a different profession or something like that, or to sell your house and buy another house, we can't get into the habit of, I mean, we want to pray about everything. We want to pray hard and pray long about everything, but we don't want to get in the habit of saying, all right, God, if you want me to take this job, then my boss will come in here today and he will offer this job to me today and he will offer me this perks and this moving allowance and this and this and this and this. And if you don't do all that, God, then obviously you're not in it. So we have to be careful with that. You know, we just pray, God, is your will be done. God doesn't speak to us audibly like he did then. He speaks to us through his word, through other people. So when we pray about stuff, it's okay to say, God, I believe this is what you want me to do. It's like Adrian Rogers said, we start with that, God, show me your will. And then we move on to, God, I think this is your will. I'm pretty confident this is your will, God. God, all right, I'm now starting to see that I really fully believe this is your will. All right, God, I'm about to act on this. If this is not your will you please stop me? And that's how we pray through the process. Instead of, all right, God, I'm going to, you know, do this. And if you don't stop me today on the first time. And so there's, now look, obviously this worked out. I'm not saying it doesn't work out. But we have to be careful not to do this all the time. Now, he did, again, we don't know. He might have prayed the entire time, and this might be what we have. But all we can work with is what he has here. But look at this in verse 15. Before he finished praying. Now, that's a quick answer. So, again, don't think that you're going to pray something, and God, before you even get the prayer out of your mouth, God's going to say, whoa, here's the answer. And that's usually not how it works. Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother, Nahor. Now, as we track this a little bit, she actually even lists the grandmother there. So let's back up there. She was the daughter of Bethuel, who was the son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother, Nahor. What we have in Abraham's family is the brother did this primogenial right, and his brother died, so he then married his wife, and then, so you know how, kind of like with Boaz and all that. So here we get to Abraham's family. Her grandfather is Abraham's brother, and so her and Isaac would be, you know, somewhat distant cousins. It probably wouldn't fly in America today, but they're distant enough. So the woman was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever slept with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Now, if you notice, even in this story here, there's a lot of the servant hurried and she did quickly. And it kind of, again, follows with the Abraham motif that Abraham moved when God told him to. He didn't delay. When God told him to do something, he did it. And so the servant hurried to meet her and he just said, again, if you read this in the original, it's like, give me a sip of your water. He said, can I have a sip? And she says, here, have it all. Drink, my Lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. So it'd be the equivalent of you coming up and saying, hey, can I have a drink of your Mountain Dew? And you say, no, here's the whole can. Take it all. My home's right down here. You're a traveler. Now, this is, it's kind of a weird situation you would think today. I tell Josie all the time, and I tell Lori, obviously, too. I was like, don't ever pick up a hitchhiker. If you see one and I'm nearby, call me. I might come get them. Josie's like, you pick them up. I was like, it's different. You never, ever pick up a hitchhiker. Not even a woman. And I know that doesn't sound like the Christian thing to do, but there's a lot of crazy people out there today. And I said, it's not that you don't do anything. You can call me and I can go get them. And I got to be careful what I say because Catfish records this. There's some interesting characters that come to this church on a daily basis. And I'm a little bit protective of Mandy. And so when the guy was doing the locks the other day, I said, look, just get it fixed where she can video see them and buzz them in. I'd get tired because, I mean, there's honestly, y'all would be shocked at some of the weird characters that come through those doors. And if I ever hear a strange voice, I always get up and go see who it is. It's also why when Mandy or Sean are not here, sometimes I don't study here because you can't get a lot of things done. So we had somebody recently that was here, and I said, let me introduce you to Mandy just so when she sees you, she knows that you're going to be doing some work here. And so the guy was kind of looking at me. I was like, that's not that you look crazy or weird, but just so I don't want, because it's just different today. I'm not saying it was bad back then. But it was still, I'm trying to set the picture for you, it was still a little bit different then for a female to go up and be this hospitable to a strange male. It was just different. So there was just something about Rebecca. It was something about her hospitality, something about her genuineness, something about her giving that obviously just showed this servant right off the bat that this is the person that God wants. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they've had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made her journey successful. Now, I don't know anything about camels, so I just researched it. And based on commentators' research, they say that thirsty camels can drink up to 20 gallons of water. That's one camel. So you're looking at about 200 gallons of water. Most of the experts say this was at least 1 hour worth of work for this female, for this lady, Rebecca. Maybe more than that, depending on how close it was or how hard. So she's doing it by herself. The guy's standing there watching her. Now, there's more than one way you can look at that. Like, he's sorry for not helping. But it says that he was sitting there basically contemplating whether or not this is who God had wanted. So the point of this whole story now that I want us to see, and we'll wrap it up here in a minute, is the character of Rebecca and how unselfish she is and how us as Christians, to be honest, ought to be more like this. Think about, put yourself in her shoes, 2019. Now, I know not many of us, if somebody strange comes up to our door and go, hey, I'm from out of town, anything I can stay with you? I would think the furthest any of us would go is, hey, there's a Holiday Inn Express in Decatur. I can give you the address. And they said, we don't have any money. I might say, okay, I'll get you a room. But I doubt if I'm taking a stranger in, especially with two young kids, and saying, oh, yeah, sure, come on in. Now, I might say, you can sleep in our backyard in the pool. That area, but I don't know that I would do that. And so, I know it's a different time, but we have to understand her hospitality here. But it would be, like us, we have to be careful who we're entertaining every day as the Bible says, we never know when we're, you know, entertaining angels. There are people that cross our paths every day that we have a chance to serve. She has a true servant's heart. And that's obviously, honestly, what God calls us to do. Now, how do we respond to that is based on our heart and where we're at. And so Rebecca is displaying this true servant's attitude for this guy. It says, when the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring wearing a Becca and two gold bracelets wearing 10 shekels. Now, a nose ring was not that uncommon today. It's not something you would do now. Now, Rebecca doesn't know it yet, but these are basically marriage gifts and offerings. He's like, hey, you're the one. You're going to keep these camels and you can keep this nose ring. Then he asked, whose daughter are you? Again, if this was happening today, you would, you know, your parents would be like, don't bring him here. Please tell me, is there room for your father's house for us to spend the night? Now, in this society, again, the commentators say that it is very uncommon for her to invite this guy to his house. It's not uncommon for the male. The male, in that society, it was deemed rude to not bring the stranger into your house. But it was never the female that did the inviting. It was always the male. And so she kind of, I don't know if you want to say overstepped her bounds, but she goes above and beyond here. She answered, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Milcar bore to Nahor. And she added, we have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night. Then he bowed down and worshiped the Lord, saying, praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on this journey to the house of my master's relatives. And so he knows here that God is with him in this journey, because Abraham's told him, you go and you find some of my people and you bring back that person for my son Isaac. And he sees by her hospitality and the fact that she is a family member that God's went before him. So we will end with this, that when, you know, he prayed here. So when we pray and we seek God's guidance in any situation, whether it be a job, whether it be a house, whether it be, you know, marriage, spouse, whatever it may be, when we truly seek God, his word teaches us that he'll make sure that we find him, that we're not disappointed. And then the proper response, that when God may not answer it the way we want us to. He wasn't looking for, you know, anything other than he wanted to do what Abraham had told him to do. And then God answered him and he said, okay, now I know my journey is complete. My journey is a success. And then Abraham's going to be happy with me. It's, you know, it wasn't anything to the servant other than he wanted to please his master. And so when we do that, when we seek God in everything we do, and we pray about it, and we see that God answers questions, the proper response is to do what this man did. He bowed down, and he worshiped the Lord, saying, praise be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to his master. And so what we're going to do is we're going to transition a little bit, not much, as Rebecca's going to go back, and she's going to introduce him to Laban, and Laban's going to do the negotiating, even though he's her brother. And then eventually we'll bring Rebecca back to Isaac. And as we see that Abraham said, let's don't leave this area. God promised this area to us. So we've seen now the servant be obedient. And this next scene, we've seen Rebecca's servant attitude as well, her unselfishness. And we'll see that God will continue to reward Abraham for his faithfulness. Okay, let me pray for you, and then we'll entertain questions. Father, we do love you. Thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. And my prayer for all of us tonight is that even though Rebecca was flawed, she had at this stage in her life, especially a true servant's heart. Help us all to do that. Help us to not question things when we have an opportunity to serve, but to just serve and know that we're serving you and serve with a loving spirit and point people to Jesus in our actions and help us to be salt and light the rest of the week. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, anybody got any questions or comments on the text tonight?